Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome everyone to the Professional Women Entrepreneurs Empowerment Radio. This is your host, Dr. Ramona Holly Major, aka the Co-Pilot, joining you this evening. Thank you for tuning in for Taxi Into Position Radio Show. You've just been given your boarding pass, so let's get ready for takeoff. Just a quick note, if you haven't had a chance, be sure to check out our Facebook page. If you haven't done so, you can search PWE Empowerment Radio and like our page for all the latest show information and updates on PWE projects, as well as on my Facebook page, if you search Dr. Ramona Holly Major, you can like my fan page. So let's jump in. Today's topic I'm going to be sharing with you this evening is creating an effective life map. And while a life map, you might say creating a life map serves as an action plan for your personal and professional goals. And so we're going to take some time this evening to talk about how to go about that and why do it. So I want you to grab a pen and some paper. And we'll get started. So some questions to ask yourself as we begin to talk about the process over the next 20 minutes or so. Think about, what do you want to do in your next chapter? You know, are you who you want to be? Are you where you want to be, doing what you want to do? Have your achievements been meaningful to you? Have you had to sacrifice things that you truly value? And have you run into a detour that has you wanting to turn back? And what the charge for this evening is to help you find balance in creating this life map. And finding that balance is for all the things that are important to you, whether it's family, career, personal time, recreational activities, but finding time for those things that are important while still taking care of yourself and the people that are important to you. And in this process, we want to eliminate the excuses by creating a plan and recognizing that there will be detours, but they are only temporary. So in taking that charge, you know, this is a process that I did some years ago, and I asked myself the same questions that I posed to you, and a life map was the tool that I created and used to help me make through my detours or things that come up in life. And detours can be, you know, injury, it could be a divorce, it could be a marriage, it could be a birth of a child, illness. So there are things that happen that we don't necessarily, sometimes we plan for, sometimes we don't plan for or have advance notice. And so in creating that, it helped me to make it through my detours as I was going through different changes in my life, and how the plan was written wasn't how it actually came to fruition. But I also used the life map to help me achieve my goals and to start living the life that I was imagining that I was deserving and that I wanted for myself and for my family. And I saw it as, for those familiar with human resources or the workplace, is a performance improvement plan, or otherwise known as a PIP. And so I created something similar to that that's used in the workplace to create my own personal and professional goals, and used it to identify the areas that I wanted to improve in my personal and professional career and life, and to create the transformations that I was looking for. So in doing so, you know, why life map, I asked earlier, in creating the map, it really served as my action plan for moving forward. And my personal goals and my professional goals, oftentimes they overlap and will impact each other in terms of decisions that we make and how they impact our lives, because everything is so interconnected. And so when you think about a life map, it will guide you from where you are to where you want to go and put your goals in focus. So it really was about seeing beyond the moment and needing to really visualize it first and then begin to strategize. Because if you don't see yourself somewhere, if you don't see yourself graduating from college, or you don't see yourself buying your first home or your first car, you're not going to be able to strategize, and you probably aren't going to be able to move yourself there because you don't believe that it's possible or that you're deserving or that it's something that's for you. So the first thing you need to do is visualize where that is you want to be and what it is that you want. And then you have to be sure you are starting where you are is key, not where your girlfriend is, not where your sister is, where your neighbor is, but where you are, because it's key in terms of if you look at somebody else's success, how they got there may not be the best way or the possible way for you to get there. So think about where you are in that starting point once you've figured out where you want to go. And it's important in this process that you don't focus on the past. What's in the past is the past. You can't change it. The hope is that you've learned and you've grown and you're able to take that and use it to begin to make either better decisions or the right decisions and take it from a holistic perspective. So it's always about looking at, the mind, the body, the spirit. Everything is interrelated, interconnected, and when one is not well, it impacts the other. So just remember, the past is the past. You can't change it. Learn from it. Use it to grow and use it to serve as your testimony. And then if you, when we talk about seeing yourself, seeing yourself at your destination before you even get there, I mentioned about it's important to visualize yourself doing something or being somewhere. And it's key that you remove the self-limiting beliefs, because we all have them. We limit ourselves and what we're able to do and not do. We need to eliminate excuses because it's easy to do. And there's some excuses. Sometimes the excuses that are real and true are the ones that we have to fight the hardest to overcome. Some are easy to say, that's not real, that's not an excuse, just making that up. But some excuses are real. Money might be a real issue, but how can you overcome that and not be the focal point of why you can't move forward or go back to school? What are some other options that you can look at? And removing the word can't and but from your vocabulary. As soon as you say can't, you know where that conversation is going. As soon as you say but, you've taken that positive that you said, I can do that, but you know the next thing coming is, I don't have time, I don't have money, I don't have childcare, I don't. So try not to use the word can't and but. So you'll have to think about when you want to say something, how you can reword that. And take into consideration all facets of your being. You talk about mind, body, spirit. You need to be nourishing all of them regularly so that they're all healthy and they're all able to be involved in the process. So whether it's meditation, exercise, exercise isn't only good for your body, it's good for your mind, getting some fresh air, getting some new energy. It's good spiritually because you can use that time to just kind of hone in on yourself and kind of let everything go for a moment. Reading is good, nourishing your mind. Seminars, purpose circles in terms of people that you're surrounding yourself around. These are all things that are going to impact how you feel overall and your overall being. And then you'll begin to discover what works best for you in this process. And you can begin to set goals. And you can make real and sustainable choices that support you in living a healthy and well-balanced life. It puts you in charge of your own life, which is important. And that's why I use the moniker the co-pilot, because it's important that you are piloting your own life. So even if, I strongly say everybody should have a mentor or coach or somebody that is there that they can go to that's going to help them be accountable, that's going to be a resource, a support to them, somebody that's going to be transparent and honest with you. But I say from the co-pilot, because it's important that you're the one making the decisions. They're giving you information, giving you guidance, resources to look at, but ultimately you should be the one making the decisions and being in charge of your own life and the decisions that you're making and the direction that you're going. And then securing the future you have been envisioning. So it's really about starting to claim those things that you want. And sometimes claiming them is in steps, and sometimes it's, you're claiming it all at once. So as you're creating that plan, you have to envision what those steps might look like that you can begin to secure along the way, because those are the milestones that are going to help you stay encouraged and motivated through the process. And you'll hear me talk, I learned about systems thinking many years ago when I was doing my graduate studies. And in the beginning, it just was overwhelming. But once I learned, I'm like, wow, it just makes sense. When you think of systems thinking, if you think of a spider web, we've all seen a spider web that's been formed. If you haven't seen it in person, you've seen one in Charlotte's Web when you were a little kid, a little girl, boy. And to see the intricate details of the spider web and how it's all interconnected and how they're all necessary in order for the web to serve its purpose. So if you think about the spider web, that is our lives and how everything operates and how everything is in tune with everything else. One thing you do impacts another. And if you think about, in creating your life map, you want it to be action-oriented because it's about doing something and moving forward and applying it from this systematic framework to enhance those life goals. So when you're looking at the system and talking about everything is kind of infused and interrelated, you're looking at 8 key areas that decisions that you make impact when you're looking at the system. When you're creating your life map, be sure to include the 8 key areas are self, family, purpose, career, finances, social, spiritual, and health and fitness aspects are all key. So those are 8 areas you want to think about. And these things this may look like a lot of things to consider. If you look at each one, though, you can see if you look at a major life decision and look at these 8 areas, you can see how they all need to be considered in terms of how they might impact you in your area. So if you look at, say, for example, you get a promotion and you look at the 8 key areas, how is this going to impact your family? In terms of, picking up your child from daycare, are you going to need extended hours? Does this job get you closer to your goal? What is your purpose? You want to move up into that VP position at some point. Is this getting you closer to your goal, or is this just a few more dollars in your paycheck? And may even limit you. The position might be taking you off course because you're distracted by the money and not really focused on what the purpose is of this promotion. Will it eliminate your exercise routine that is important to you? So if it's going to require longer hours or different hours, you may not be able to go to the gym an hour every day based on this new role and how you feel about that. And think about self. I mean, to get promoted, it makes you feel good. You're proud of yourself. Will it help you? Think about these things that you need to do to work around these detours so that you can take the promotion or you can commit to other things like your exercise program. So if you're looking at it from a systems mindset, you really want to look at all of those 8 areas and make sure that it affects your career, but is it affecting your career in the right way? And is it doing something that you're going to feel good about, or are you going to start to feel spiritually broken because you're terminating people, every other week or something. So when you're making those decisions, again, the eight areas you want to look at are self, family, purpose, career, finances, social, spiritual, and health and fitness. So you really want to, and when you're thinking about the systems thinking, what you really want to understand, and Peter Senge is kind of the thought leader behind systems thinking. So if you're interested in looking more at systems thinking, you can look up Peter Senge. His last name is spelled S-E-N-G-E. And when he talks about three characteristics of systems thinking when you're doing it. And the first one he talks about, this must involve a very deep and persistent commitment to real learning. So it's really about a learning process. It's about that action that's taking place. Learning is actionable. The second one is be prepared to be wrong. Our way of seeing things is often part of the problem. So, and creating, going through this process, you might realize that some things really aren't the best for you and have to redirect or make some different decisions as you're creating that life map so that it keeps you in tune to where you want to go. Remember, starting with that end in mind, where's that destination that you're looking to go? And then the third is you need to get people with different points of views who are seeing different parts of the system come together collectively. And it goes back to a mentor, a coach, who your tribe or inner circle is, of people that you're spending time with, because you want them to be able to look at what you're doing and to give you constructive feedback that you can take back and be able to see from a perspective that you're not able to see. Maybe you're blinded because you're too close to the situation, it's emotional, it involves a loved one. So it's nice to be able to have people that can share some different points of views that you can value and respect what they have to say, and realizing that that is part of the systems approach of really getting those different parts of the system coming together. And so, again, it goes back to starting with the end in mind. And another book or resource that I would recommend, and a lot of you have probably read it, are Stephen Covey's Habits. And Habit Number 2 is one of my favorites and one that I use in the beat for a number of years. And I guess when I first read it, it was kind of morbid because it's like, think about that you've died and you're, kind of laying in the coffin and who's there and what does your life look like and what does your life represent and, how do you kind of feel about the choices and things that you've done. And but if you think about where you want to be in the end and start there, it's really a good principle to use when you're starting your life map and beginning to do that. And by practicing Habit Number 2, you can have a clear vision of your desired direction and destination and continually make adjustments as necessary to make it happen, because we have to know a plan is something that creates a map for us to begin to move forward on, but we know that there are going to be times when we're going to have to make some adjustments. There's going to be some detours. There's going to be things that happen that are out of our control. And so this will allow you to visualize who you are and what you want in life. And then you can even empower other people and circumstances around you to guide you through your life map. So if you know what you want and you know what you need and you know where you're going, then you can get the right people around you that can support you to do that, and you can empower them to help you. So, think about how that makes that process easier as you go through that journey on your life map. And empowering your family, your circle of friends, mentors, your leaders, your leadership at work, your coworkers. If you know what you want, you can get your coworkers, you're working in your team, you're working as a team, but how they're supporting you to get your projects done is helping you move forward. And then you want to use them to empower you. If you know where you're going and what you need, it's so much easier to do. If you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, you're going to spend time just
fluttering and just really not having any direction and just really wasting time. That and time is so precious these days that you really want to be able to maximize it and be able to do things at a pace that works for you, but it's still productive. And if a life map is done correctly, it should help you identify some of the following. It should help you identify your core values. What is important to you and why? You know, that'll be important as you work through your life map. It will give you a clear sense of purpose. You know, what is it that you want in the end? You know, is it to, be in the best shape of your life? Is it to be, you know, a high-powered executive? Is it to be the best mom ever? What is it that you want in the end? It's also going to help you increase your self-motivation. You know, you have a plan. You're making accomplishments as you go that you can see and beginning to hit those milestones. So that encourages you and motivates you as you move forward through your plan. So it's good to be able to see that and stay motivated. It should help you identify to improve your focus and academic career achievements. Again, you know what you want and you know where you're going. So you have a plan. I need to get my associate's degree. I need to get my HVAC certification. You know, I need to take a small business class if you're looking at going into entrepreneurship. But it helps give you some focus and direction in terms of decisions and things that you need to do to move forward. It'll help you manage stress more effectively. You know, always less stressful when you have a plan. So if you know what you're doing, it's kind of like, you know, talk about food prep and meal prep and things like that. I like to use the crock pot because it's wonderful when you come home, the food is cooked. You don't have to think about, oh, what am I going to cook today? Should I take something out of the freezer? Or do I have to stop and grab some fast food, some takeout? It's like the food is already cooked and it smells good and you can sit down in 15 minutes and have dinner. And that stress day is completely different from a day when walking the house and everything's in the freezer and nothing's defrosted to cook and everybody's hungry looking at you. So, you know, having a plan helps reduce stress from small things to bigger things. Recognize those self-limiting beliefs. Again, removing the can't and but from your vocabulary. And then you want to identify your strengths and talents. And, you know, what you are good at and how you can use it to get where you need to be. So know where you need support from others or where you need to work on and develop yourself as part of that life map. What are some areas that you need to develop yourself so that maybe that weakness isn't such a weakness? And also, how can you use those strengths and talents and really leverage them to be able to move forward, whether it's in your personal or professional goals? And then another thing that you can do is to do a SWOT analysis on yourself. And we do these oftentimes in the business world, the corporations, in terms of a SWOT analysis, which is looking at your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And this is really a game changer when you know what they are. If you know what your weaknesses are, you know, by working on those, you create opportunities for yourself. And also looking at those weaknesses, what are the threats that come from those weaknesses that will help you, probably encourage you to do what you need to do to overcome some of those weaknesses and eliminate some of those threats. And then what are your strengths? Sometimes strengths can be a threat as well, and how, what might be some things that would be a threat, and also what are the opportunities to be able to really take your strength and really be able to catapult it to be able to do the things that you want. If you're really good at, you know, nutritional planning and stuff like that, maybe there's opportunity to coach people and support people who might need that, or even volunteer to provide that. You know, you're looking for that purpose and you want to help people and support people. You know, sometimes volunteering is a great way to be able to do those things that you're really passionate about, but maybe something that's not a career for you. And then building better relationships. Again, empowering people to help you as well as knowing how you can empower people. So it's always a two-way street. You need to be able to give just like you're receiving from others. So think about that. And it really is, most importantly, is really thinking about how to simply live your life to the fullest. You know, while you're thriving through these transitions that are going to happen on the way to your destination, and really being able to have a system in place, a plan in place, you know. And this is kind of like you're starting, a lot of people starting with the vision boarding, and I have two vision boards I did this year to really begin to visualize. And what I talked about in the beginning, I talked about the thing that you want to start with is the visualizing. So that vision board is a great tool to get you started in terms of what does it look like. The life map is really now saying, how am I going to get there? I want to buy that big house, you know, and it might not happen this year, but maybe it's a 3-year plan. Or maybe you got to buy that first starter home till you get to that dream home. And really sitting down and creating this map and putting an action plan in place. You know, what do you need to do? Do you need to stop spending as much money? Do you need to save some money? Do you need to get a part-time job so you can save that down payment, you know, and because that's going to help you get more house or have less of a mortgage payment so that you can still be able to maintain that social life that you have. So it's, again, going back and looking at those 8 areas. I really love this house. What does a $3,000 mortgage mean to me in those other areas? I have this great home, but now I can't do the social things that I used to do. Now my gym membership is a hardship to pay. So you want to look at all of those things. Maybe you're used to going on a nice family vacation with the family, and that's something you have to decide, are you willing to let that go? And maybe it's like, we don't need it. We have a pool in the backyard. We can have cookouts and invite our friends over, and, you know, we can have a vacation every day. So you really want to think about those different 8 aspects and how those major decisions that you make impact each of them as you're creating the life map. And then, you know, if you're looking for somebody to create your life map, I just want to share about a 2-hour session that I can work with you to get you started on your action plan, to get you activated and on purpose. And regularly, those 2 hours would be $300. If you mention PWE Radio, there would be 50% off of that for the remainder of April 2015. And if you want additional information, you can go to my website at www.drhollymajor.com, and you can get some more information on the different services that I offer in terms of helping. And so I want to thank everyone for joining me this evening. Hopefully you've gotten some good information. You can go home. You did your vision board in January. Now you can start your life map and get that started in terms of creating that action plan toward achieving your goals. Our next show will be the first and third. We're on the first and third Wednesdays of the month. So please join us, and we'll look forward to seeing you tune on the first Wednesday of May. And again, thank you for joining me this evening. In the meantime, be sure to tune in to Hear Sade Speaks with host Sade Dennis tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern and our other fabulous PWE radio shows. I want to end with an affirmation for this week, and it's, a leader takes people where they want to go. A great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go to be, by Rosalind Carter. Again, thank you for joining us this evening, and I'll see you on the first Wednesday in May. Have a great evening. Bye.